That's where we go, we have nothing else to lean on. I come to you this morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Brother McMillan, my beautiful wife, my beautiful wife of 47 years.
All right now.
Amen.
Still think I'm robbing the cradle. But it ain't so. It's an honor. It's a privilege. As always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to come to you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for someone needs to hear a word.
Yes, God.
Speak, Lord, for someone is pondering something in their mind and they can't figure out which way to go. Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Someone has a nagging in their spirit. Speak, Lord. Oh Lord, we call on you because we know that we can count on you.
Yes, we can.
We call on you because you've never, ever failed us, Lord. Speak, Lord. Give me a word, Lord. Use this vessel, Lord, any way that you see fit, Lord God. Lord, speak a word. Touch somebody, Lord, and the spirit this morning, Lord. Move somebody, Lord God. Somebody is crying, Lord. Maybe not outside, but somebody is crying on the inside, Lord, and they need a touch from you. Speak, Lord. Lord, we call on you. We count on you. And we know that you will not fail us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be coming this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I'm going to be reading out of chapter 4. We had chapter 3, some of chapter 3 read to you this morning. And I'm going to be reading out of chapter 4. And I'm going to start with the 4th verse. And it reads thusly: Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Mm-hmm. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen.
Yes.
That's enough. We could go home with that. Yes. Not getting off the hook that easy. This morning, I'd like to continue. We started last week with a series theme of considering a boundless God.
Amen.
We want to continue that, considering a boundless God. Last week we used as a topic, what's in your cup? And I'll recap that this morning. And then we're going to go into another question. But this morning, we want to use as a topic the secret to contentment. And I'm going to put a colon there. And nothing between my soul and my Savior. So the secret to contentment. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Just that short topic there, the secret to contentment. That should have got half the people in all the churches in Durham today running here to try to find out what I'm going to say. That is, unless there's a whole lot of people, that includes me, that have figured it all out, because I look around and I see a whole lot of folk that's not content.
That's right.
You see, see, content, that's a funny word, you know. You can't be less content. You can't be more content. You're either content or you're not. It's a funny word. Content says, I'm all right. Everything is okay. Let me not get ahead of myself. I got to do like this TV shows. I got to string it out. might leave you with a cliffhanger today. You never can tell.
All right.
Last week we talked about what's in your cup?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was Communion Sunday. The question was asked last week, what's in your cup?
Mm-hmm.
And it was further asked, what is it that you need in your cup?
Mm-hmm.
And the third question was, what do you believe is in your cup? Because that's what we really talk about on this journey that we're on. It's a faith walk. And if you can believe it, then you can receive it. If you can't believe it, then there's no use in you even thinking
right.
that you're going to get it. If you can't believe it, well, you won't get it. And
right.
Songwriter says, only believe. All things are possible if you can only
believe.
That's all. That's it's that easy. That's easy. We talked last week that the problem is, when we try to understand God with anything other than faith, then we fail. Mm-hmm. We keep looking for God to be confined to our space and inside of our little worlds and mm-hmm. bound by the universe that he created. And we have to get outside. And Paul said in his letter to the Hebrews that
now faith
is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's a mouthful in itself, that faith is substance. So it says, out of nothing, I'm going to create something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe. Uh-huh. It makes it kind of tough for us sometimes. We can't get our arms around that. Mm-hmm. The both scriptures last week talked about, we came from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, and John 6, 57 through 60. And both of them spoke of a boundless God. Boundless God. I looked at that this morning. I was just sitting there here by myself and I just stretched it out and boundlessness. You think of that, that's the noun form of it, boundlessness. And I just sit out front and I just thought about boundlessness. And I tried to use my little human mind to just think boundlessness. But the more you try to get your arms around boundlessness, it just says, well, I can't get my arms, it just keeps right on stretching. It's boundlessness.
Right.
And I started thinking about a boundless God, and I started thinking that the universe, and we've talked about multiverses now and how big it is and the whole cosmos and all of the other words that we may throw out there and think that we've got something figured out, but then you start thinking about a boundless God. And he created that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A boundless God with no restraints. A God that can do anything that he pleases. A God that has all power in his hand. A God that knows everything. Yeah, some of us think we know some stuff. One of the smartest people I know. I don't know a whole lot of people. But this boundless God, the one not bound by time.
All right.
We go back and we talk about the cavemen and the dinosaurs and the rocks that we find, and that the world has been around for 10 million years mm-hmm. and whatever else we want to say. But it really doesn't matter what you come up with, because God is not bound by your time.
Not bound.
Man don't like to hear that, though, because we are so smart. He's not bound by space, and he's not bound by any matter. But because God loves us, he created this universe. And mm-hmm. then he sent his only begotten son, a God human.
Yes.
So that we might have a means to personally relate to him. The secret to contentment is nothing between my soul and my Savior.
Uh-huh.
The secret to contentment. John 15 and 5 says, I am the vine. Mm-hmm. Ye are the branches. Mm-hmm. He that abideth in me and I in him, mm-hmm. the same bringeth forth much fruit. Mm-hmm. For without me, you can do nothing. And then part of our scripture for today in Philippians 4 and 13, it says, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So you go from nothing to something. To finite to infinite. Yeah. From bound to boundless.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Last week, we were talking that communion is a chance of getting to know God better. Mm-hmm. If we could do that, if we could really spend the time and really get to know God and commune with Him. And we established last week that this communion is a continual communion, not just the ritual that we go through, but a continual communion with Him, constant communication, being led by Him, hearing from Him constantly. Mm-hmm. And we hypothesize what would happen if all of us truly commune with God and with each other. What we come up with if we truly commune, and we're all wrapped in our own little bubbles, and every once in a while we'll let somebody else in. And certainly if we let God in, then I don't want nobody to take my God from me, so I'm afraid to share my... Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But see, when we try to look at ourselves, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at ourselves deeply. Because it's so easy for us to call something impossible.
All right,
then. You know, even when we talk about God healing somebody, people have to guard their faith then, because when they tell you that God can heal me, that God has healed me, you have to be careful, because people are trying to snatch that away from you. It's impossible. Here's what must have happened. Let me give it to you how it had to happen, because I can tell you logically how it happened. It couldn't have possibly been that you were sick, but now you're well. That they found cancer in your body, but now it's gone, must mean they didn't see it.
Jesus.
It's impossible. It's easy for us to say impossible. See, anything that we have trouble comprehending, then it must be impossible. Something must be wrong with that, because I can't comprehend it. Uh-huh. One of the scriptures that we used last week was Job 37:5, and it said, God thundereth marvelously with His voice. I was listening to thundering last night. It said, great things doth He which we cannot comprehend. Well, we try to get it. You know, we got it all figured out, that thunder and lightning is related, that the thunder comes so much quicker than the lightning, and the lightning falls in so many seconds, or whatever we've come up with. We do. And we call it facts, and once we establish it as a fact, then we think we got something. And God says to you, I'm not bound by all of that.
No way.
And we don't want to hear that because we're smart and all of this studying I've been doing. But God says none of that really matters. And can you get past yourself?
All right now.
Can't comprehend it, Lord. It must be impossible. We keep trying to confine God inside our little world. Mm-hmm. We keep binding God with our own limited belief. Mm-hmm. I got problems, Lord, in my life, and God knows I've looked at them all kinds of ways, and I've studied, and I've read, and I've tried things, and I just don't see
all right now
how we can get past. I just don't see how it's going to ever be fixed, Lord. I just can't see it.
Yeah.
And he said, if you can't see it,
all right now,
then you can't have it. Because if you can't believe, all you have to do is only
believe.
If you could get over yourself,
only believe.
But Lord, it's hard. It's trying to get over myself. Communion is when God makes himself available to us and we respond to him. When we look around and see all what God has done, his magnificent world that he's made, when he thunders and lightning and the stars and the moon, and you look around and you say, that's my God and he's near me. Why don't I commune with him? Why don't I get over myself? God is all that we will ever need. So this week, I'm going to ask you the question, the same question I posed a minute ago. So how many of us are truly content? Don't lie to me.
Great question.
It might just be me. I'm not going to try to tell anybody else what they going through, but how many of you are truly
content?
Let me tell you how it goes. Sometimes we try to figure it out with money and stuff.
All right.
Well, if I get enough stuff, then I'll be content. And you heard the saying that he who dies with the most stuff is the winner. So we try with money and places I've been and stuff that I've seen, and we try to get that to make it content, but that does not make it content. But here's how deep we go. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just talking about me. But we can become discontented because somebody else is discontented. One of my loved ones, somebody that's near and dear to me, I can't reach contentment because they are not content.
All right,
now. How do I know they're not content? Because I got more than they do. They couldn't possibly be content because I got more than they do, and I'm not content. That's just me, ain't it?
Don't think so.
See, content. Content, I think, sometimes is farther away than peace. Because, see, peace, you can get peace for a minute. You can sit. When I came in this morning, I found peace. For a minute, but right after that minute was gone, I found myself not content. I had to find something else to do.
All right.
So how many are truly content?
Truly content.
Paul says in the 11th verse, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So what does contentment mean? Well, here's my definition. It's an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being rightly related to and in constant communion with God and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. I'm going to read that again. Uh-huh. I wrote that, but I didn't. It's an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being rightly related to and in constant communion with God and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. That's contentment. One dictionary defines contentment as a state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Are you content with your current condition in life? Let's ponder it. The Bible instructs us to be content. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" See, if we can find a position where
nothing between
my soul and my Savior, when I start looking at how bound I am in this body that I'm in and how boundless the God that I serve is, when I can submit to Him that, "Lord, I'm not in charge of anything, and You're in charge of everything, and You know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen,
and yes, you do.
Why can't I just rest?"
Yes. Rest in it.
In You. Yeah. Jesus gives us a direct command to be content. Mm-hmm. He says in Matthew 6, He says, "Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." He said, you'll have everything that you need if you just seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, then you'll have all that you need.
That's right.
And all that you want. See, we get that tangled up too. Yes. What I need and what I want and... So, from Jesus' words, we can deduce that the lack of contentment is sin. And it puts us in the same category as those who do not know God. When we run around discontent, say that my God must be limited. I'm daring God to make me content. I'm challenging God. Can He make me content? It's always something that I want, or something I need to do, or somebody I know that needs to do something.
All right now.
Y'all better pray with me today.
Yeah, boy.
The secret for contentment. Don't let this just get by you now. Make sure you get this. The secret for contentment in every situation is to focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord as sovereign, He knows everything. Nothing has ever happened, nor will it ever happen, that he does not ordain or allow. So if you focus on him as sovereign, he's in charge of it all. Understand and accept the sovereignty of God. Nothing I can do. It's all about him. Focus on the Lord as Savior. We're saved by grace alone. You can't save yourself.
That's right.
God sent his son to die for you. So if you can focus on him as your Savior, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation, nor can I do anything to earn my salvation. God sent his son that I might be saved. So focus on God as the saving force in my life. It's not on me.
Yes.
Keep trying to save myself.
Yes.
I don't have the power to save me. Then focus on the Lord as the sufficient one.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever situation I'm in, God is sufficient.
Oh, yes.
I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. Even when I'm broke and on the street, if I can just focus on him as the one that's sufficient, if I can believe, then I can receive.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just focus on the Lord as sovereign, and focus on the Lord as our Savior, and focus on the Lord as the sufficient one.
Mm.
He is sovereign. He is the sovereign one to whom I must submit.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I've come to the end of my rope.
Yes.
I can do nothing. I'm submitting to you. I'm telling you, there's nothing that I can do. I surrender all.
All to thee.
You are the sovereign one.
Mm-hmm.
You are my Savior. You are the one who I must serve. You are my Savior. You've already paid the cost.
Mm.
Then you are the sufficient one that I should trust.
Yes.
So wherever I find myself, no matter what it may look like, I can trust in him. You got it all figured out. You are sufficient. Hallelujah. I just want to make this point with Paul. You got your secret. Now I'm going to show you how it lives out. See, Paul knew this.
Mm-hmm.
So we consider a portion of Paul's life. Paul said, I've gone through some things in life. If you want to follow me, I'm going to just walk through 2 Corinthians, around that 11th chapter, 23rd verse or so. But Paul has gone through, Paul suffered more than any of us, most of us have ever suffered. Paul didn't have a lot of the comforts in life once he started following the Lord. And as close as I could come, Paul must have met Jesus on the Damascus Road around the age of 30. But as far as Paul was concerned with his life, he said, I've been chasing God all my life. He thought he had been chasing God. He went to training when he was 14 years old, and they had trained him who he thought he should be searching for. So for 30 years, Paul was looking for God, and he kept right on looking and looking for God. But then one day on the Damascus Road, he ran into Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
He said, life has never been the same since I met Jesus.
All right now.
But Paul said, when you look back on my life, he said, I've been through some changes.
Yes.
He said, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. He said, I've worked harder than most ministers can even think about. He said, I've worked harder than the ministers who think that they should be put up on a pedestal because they've done something. He said, but I've suffered for Jesus.
Yes, suffered for Jesus.
Paul goes on, he says, I've been beaten more than anybody around. He said, I've been in stripes above measure. I've been in prisons more frequently than most of these people. And often I have faced death. Instead of the Jews, I've been beaten 5 times. And I received 40 stripes, save one. And three times was I beaten with rods, and once when I was stoned, and thrice I suffered shipwrecks.
Oh, God.
A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, he said, I'm a world traveler. I'm going back and forth for the Lord, and I've had troubles in the water, perils
yes.
in the waters, and
yes.
pearls of robbers. I've been
yes,
robbed, and I've been somewhere that said buked and scorned.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I've been in pearls by my own countrymen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been abused by your own family sometimes.
Jesus.
In pearls by the heathen, and in pearls in the city, and in pearls in the wilderness, in pearls in the sea.
All right now.
Pearls amongst false brethren.
Yes.
He said, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and in thirst, and in fasting, and in cold and in
yeah.
nakedness.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, and besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. He said, all that I have been through, after all the trials and tribulations that I have gone through, he said, but my mind is stayed. I'm more concerned
yes,
with
yes.
the church of God, and
yes.
because he's the one that has called me, then I can stand because I am content through it all.
Jesus.
I've learned to be content. Somebody might ask, but how could this man possibly have a life like this and be happy?
Yes.
But it's because he had died to himself. He said, this is not about me.
Amen.
He could say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
All right now.
He said, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am content. I know what it is
yes.
to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. But I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or in want.
All right.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
Yes.
It really doesn't matter what you're going through in life. Really doesn't matter what it looks like. Whether you're up or whether you're down. It really doesn't matter. If you can keep your hand in the Master's hand, he said, I can carry you through everything. I can carry you through your ups and your downs. If you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, when the waters get rough and your boat is going back and forth, all you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand, knowing that he is sufficient.
Yes, he is. More than enough.
Paul says over in that 12th chapter, Paul says, because I've gone through so much with the Lord, and to keep me from getting a big head, he said the Lord had to give me a hindrance. And he said, and the hindrance that God gave me, he said, I begged him to remove it 3 times. And he said, all my God said to me was, my grace is sufficient.
Yes.
He said, all you got to do is hold on. It just looks bad. The world might tell you that you got some problem. It just looks bad. You need to get another angle on it, because God's got it all in control. God said, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I know what your future is. I know. All you got to do is hold on to my unchanging hand.
Yes, sir, God. Thank you, God.
Contentment. The secret to contentment. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it slow just to make an emphasis on it, because you do it on your way home. Just ponder in your mind. And when you say it just about the way that I'm saying it. Contentment. Because when you say it slow, you give yourself time to say, am I there? Sure. Am I hyped up right now? Before I can get out of church, I'm back to work. Mm-hmm. I'm back to my family problems, and I got 1,000 things. You ever gone on vacation? And when you start back, I don't care how far away you go, when you start back, your problems start coming. The closer you get to home, is that right?
That's bad.
The closer you get to home, and by the time you get home, you say, man, I'm tired. Everything that you had. But if you put it in God's hands on the way out, when I go on my trip, I'm going with God. And when I return, I'm coming back with God, because I am content in God.
Yes, yes.
It's the secret to contentment. He's sovereign. He's our Savior.
Yes.
And he is sufficient.
Yes,
sir. Let me close with one scripture. The fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you're where you ought to be. Galatians says 5:22 and 23. Mm-hmm. But the fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Is love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Mm-hmm. Peace. Mm-hmm.
Good grace.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, God.
Long suffering. Yeah. Put up with stuff, people. Mm-hmm. Getting on your nerves and
things.
You can't bother me today. I'm not for today. I'm long suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. You're not going to make me scream today. You're not going to make me lose my cool parents.
Come on now.
Against such there is no law.
No law.
It's all right to feel content.
Thank you, God.
This joy I had. This contentment I had. The world didn't get it. World can't take it away. Children didn't get it. Husbands and wives didn't give it this peace, this joy that I have. You didn't give it to me. Said, you can't take it away. I have to give it away.
All right now.
secret to contentment. It's your relationship with the Almighty. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between. Nothing.
Absolutely.
Like worldly pleasures.
Yes, sir.
My habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever? He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face Jesus may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. If you can rest there in God, you can find contentment. And then once you find it, you have to fight for it.
Yes, sir, God.
When you find it, the world says, he got something. I don't want him to have God. That. So
hallelujah, God.
You have to fight for it. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to find contentment.
Yes, sir, God.
Thank you, Lord, for directions on how to get there by starting getting over ourselves, Lord, and realizing that it's all in your hands and in your control, Lord. Help us, Lord. Remove anything that blocks us. When we think about you, Lord, anything that blocks a perfect worship of you, Lord, move it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to abide in you and you in us, Lord.
Yes, sir.
For without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. Oh, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, God.
We praise your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.